Angela Sloan is an investment advisor and representative of Sloan Financial Group, LLC. Investment and advisory services are offered through Madison Avenue Securities, LLC. MAS is a registered investment advisor, member FINRA and SIPC. MAS and Sloan Financial are not affiliated companies.
It's time for The Retirement Architect with Angela Sloan of Sloan Financial Group. This is the show for you. If you're a retiree or approaching retirement and you want to make sure your financial plan has a solid foundation, get ready to learn how to design your own retirement blueprint. Here's Angela.
Hi, this is Angela Sloan from Sloan Financial Group, and I'm the Retirement Architect. So if you're in retirement or just thinking about retirement, then this program is for you. With offices in Charlotte and Clover, we're a convenient resource to help you design a plan to make the most of your retirement years. And I hope you'll stay with me for the next 30 minutes as I talk about some of the challenges of today's retirement and the things we can do to help ensure your retirement is a happy one. So let's get started with things that we heard from our mother. And I'm going to call this Financial Planning with Mom. And in honor of all of our mothers, let's talk about some of the things that they used to say to us and then apply those things to our financial planning. You know, the first one is one that I always swore I would never, ever say to my children. And I found myself saying this more times than once. How many of you remember hearing, "Because I said so"? And that's usually what our mom said to us because she didn't have a better answer. We'd say, "But why? Because I said so." Unfortunately, a lot of financial advisors also can't explain the reasoning behind their recommendations in a way that you can understand it. But it's important for you to get a better answer to your questions than the equivalent of, "Because I said so." And I am a firm believer in educating my clients. One, you need to know what you're doing, why you're doing it, and how long you're going to do it for, how much it's going to cost you. That's why I spend so much of my time with my clients educating them. The second thing that we would hear from our mothers is, "If you're going to act like a child, then I'm going to treat you like one." When you're dealing with the big brokerage houses, they're likely to invest your money with a lot more risk than they should. And unless you firmly instruct them otherwise, this is the path they take. You know, I can look at one of my clients' portfolios, or, you know, somebody who comes in for a second opinion, I can look at their portfolio and tell them how old their broker is. Because a lot of times that portfolio is set up for that broker's age group and not the client. And most people just don't know any better. So they just let the broker do whatever he wants. And that's why we have 60-year-olds out there investing like they're 30. So if you want to act like a child, then your broker's going to treat you like a child. This is another reason why you have to educate yourself. The third thing that I remember hearing from my mom is, "Well, if all your friends jumped off a bridge, would you do it too?" You know, how many of you come in and said, "Well, Johnny's mama let him, or Sally's mama let her." Well, if all of them are going to jump off a bridge, would you jump off too? And it's stunning to me how many people make financial decisions based on what their friends and their coworkers or their neighbors do, even when those other people's lives look nothing like their own. Folks, I cannot scream this loud enough. You are not your neighbor. You are not your friend. You are not your coworker. You are not anybody else other than you, and your situation is unique to you. What's appropriate to somebody else is probably not going to be appropriate for you, which is why you have to have an individualized plan designed just for you. And how many times did we hear our mother say, "One day you're going to thank me for this"? And sometimes when you're working with a good financial advisor, the benefits might not be obvious to you immediately, and you might question if the fees are worth it, or you might think you could do it all by yourself just as easily. But when that advisor's, when they stop you from making a really bad decision, it keeps you from losing what you've saved so hard. You know, it's really hard to save what you have, and it keeps you from losing it in a market crash or some other bad situation, or it helps you navigate a tricky situation like a divorce or being forced into an early retirement, then you're going to be very thankful to have them on your side. But again, even though one day you might thank them, it's important that you understand why that advisor is telling you what they're telling you. So think about some of the things your mother told you. "Because I said so." "Well, if you want to act like a child, I'll treat you like one." "If all your friends jumped off a bridge, would you do it?" You know, one day you're going to thank me for this. And apply those to your financial life and educate yourself, folks. I can't scream that loud enough. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to continue with the next segment, which is tax planning. So don't go away. If you have questions or you want us to take a look at your situation, you can give us a call at 803-222-2892. Or you can email us at info@sloanfinancial.net. Again, that's 803-222-2892 or email at info@sloanfinancial.net. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Retirement Architect. Here's Angela Sloan.
Welcome back. This is Angela Sloan, your retirement architect. And today we're talking about how to build a plan that will help you get the most out of your retirement. So we're going to move on to the next segment, which is tax planning. And the subject of tax planning, it seems to get ignored by a lot of advisors, and mostly because they don't have a background in taxes. They're not tax people. And if they're with a broker-dealer, their broker-dealer typically does not allow them to give tax advice, which is very spooky. You have somebody who is advising you on your money, but they're not allowed to give you tax advice. In my opinion, one of the first questions you need to ask your advisor is, how many tax returns have you ever prepared? Because if they don't understand the taxes and how that works, that can turn out to be the biggest hole in your pocket. So the tax planning is absolutely essential. So having very important conversations with your advisor on a gut level about the tax issues is extremely important. You need to know what your current tax bracket is and what tax bracket you may be in retirement, because a lot of people think, well, you know, when I retire, we'll be in a lower tax bracket. And many times that does not happen. You know, most people don't realize that your Social Security can be taxed, which we'll get to in a few minutes. Then RMDs are going to hit you. And if you have a large amount in a retirement fund, that can be a very, very, very bad thing that you have to plan for. A lot of other questions I get is about Roth conversions. Should I convert to a Roth? And that depends on your current bracket, what bracket converting that Roth into would put you in. Would you jump to a higher bracket? And whether or not you think tax rates are going to go up or down in the future. And I can almost assure you, taxes have nowhere to go but up. How fast they're going to go up, nobody knows. What they'll go to, we don't really know that either. But right now might be the best opportunity you ever have to do some Roth conversion. The Roth is important to us because it grows tax-free, it comes out tax-free, it passes to your family tax-free, so the savings in future taxes can be significant. And it depends on your age, it depends on your health. I mean, there's a lot of things that come into play in deciding whether or not you can do a Roth conversion. Folks, please don't try to do this on your own. Because once you convert that money to a Roth, you cannot reconvert it anymore. You know, it used to be that you could recharacterize it back to the IRA if you converted too much and it caused too much taxes. You could go back and redo it. Now you cannot do that. So once you make that conversion, you own it and you're stuck with the taxes. You know, there's also the possibility that your Social Security could be taxed. So for a married couple, if half that Social Security plus all the other income comes to $32,000, the Social Security income starts to be taxed. For a single person, half the Social Security plus all the other income hits the $24,000 mark, it starts to be taxed. And you know, a lot of times when you have a married couple and one dies, now you've got the spouse that's really stuck in a tax situation, and these things have to be planned for. We know that that's going to happen someday, but we need to plan for it. I hate to have people get surprised when it comes to their taxes. And then the other thing we have to plan for is what's going to happen when those RMDs hit you. I sat down with a fella not too long ago, and his big concern was how to allocate his portfolio. He was about 2 years from retiring, and he was really concerned with having enough income, etc. Well, when I sat down and looked at his situation, he had a nice pension in addition to this huge 401k. His income was going to be fine. That was the least of his worries. With the pension and Social Security alone, he had more income than he needed. But when he turned 72, that RMD was going to smack him, and his taxes were going to be ginormous, and nobody had ever said that to him. He had never stopped to think about it. Well, the taxes was only part of the problem, because what's going to happen due to that RMD, his Medicare premiums are going to go sky high. So, you know, your Medicare Part A, you don't pay for. Medicare Part B is based on your income. His Medicare premium for Part B and Part D is going to be around the $600 a month mark simply because of his RMD. That is in addition to his taxes. So if you're not getting proper tax planning, if your advisor does not have a background in taxes, you need to find somebody who does have that background. We pride ourselves in that department as well. Please give us a call. It's 803-222-2892. You can email us at info@sloanfinancial.net. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And welcome back. This is Angela Sloan, your retirement income architect. And I want to talk for a few minutes about 401ks and whether or not a 401k is right for you, because in many cases, they may not be. You know, they're not necessarily for everyone. So your 401k can be your best investment vehicle, and in other cases, it may not be the best place for your money, or the best place to keep your money for that matter. So for instance, if you don't have an emergency fund, okay, first of all, if you have a 401k at work, I tell people always, always put in up to the match. So if your employer is matching you 3%, you put in 3%. Never walk away from free money. But don't put anything over that match until you get an emergency fund built up. Okay? So I want you to have an emergency fund so that when things happen, you have money to go to, and you're not going to your long-term savings to help take care of emergencies, because that's spinning your wheels and it will get you nowhere. Another reason that you might not put money in a 401k is if the employer isn't matching. So if the employer isn't matching, why would you put any of your savings under somebody else's control? Because that's in essence what you're doing. And you're tax deferring money. Tax deferred don't mean tax free. Okay, that means taxes will be someday. Someday payday is going to come. So if your employer isn't matching, there's usually better places that you can put your savings. Another reason not to max out a 401k is if you're swimming in debt. Now, like I said, if the employer's matching, at least put in up to the match. But anything over and above that, we need to concentrate on the debt. And we need to take the debt, the interest rates, the balance. We need to figure out how to systematically get rid of that debt before you increase what's going into your 401k. Another reason not to have a 401k is if you're worried about future tax increases. Like I said, tax deferred is not tax free. So picture yourself with a handful of corn seed. The tax man comes and he says, okay, you owe me taxes on that handful of corn seed. And you say, oh no, I don't want to pay taxes on my corn seed. And he says, okay, I'll tell you what, I'll make a deal with you. I'll wait until you plant your corn seed out in the field here. And down the road later, when the crop comes in, I'll just come back and tax the crop. Which would you rather pay taxes on, the seed or all of the harvest? And of course, we'd rather pay taxes on the seed. That's a lot less, right? Well, with retirement plans, you wind up paying taxes on the harvest. You see, the government thought about that when these retirement plans came out. So sometimes taxing the seed is a whole lot better than taxing the harvest. So if you're thinking about future taxes, then the 401k may not be the place for you. But there again, if your employer is matching, don't walk away from free money. You at least put in up to the match. Another reason not to have a 401k is if you're no longer working at that company. So if you've left an employer and you still have a 401k sitting at that old job, at that old employer, you need to get that money under your thumb as quickly as you can. Never leave it with an old employer. You get yourself in control of it. And I've seen cases, in fact, one here recently, husband and wife, they had each had four jobs in the past, and they had four 401ks still sitting at former employers. And the wife said, this is driving me crazy trying to keep up with it.
we need to do some consolidation. And I said, yes, you do, for a lot of reasons. And that's going to be our next appointment with them. So if you are in this situation of any of these five items, give us a call. It's 803-222-2892. We'll be glad to help you with any of them that we can. And when we come back, we're going to go to our email bag and we're going to address some questions from our loyal listeners. And if any of you have questions, feel free to email us at sloanfinancial.net. You go to our website and shoot us an email. Or you can call us 803-222-2892. We're going to take a quick break, so don't go away. And welcome back. This is Angela Sloan, your retirement income architect. We're going to go to our email bag, and we're going to address a question from Dave in York. He said that for decades, he has laddered CDs so that he has one maturing every single year. But with interest rates being so low, he's wondering, you know, does he have too much money in the bank? And how much is too much? Well, Dave, you said for decades, and I know that decades ago, CDs had some pretty good rates, but in the last 10 years, 10 to 12 years, they really have not been so good. So you've actually lost money on CDs because of the inflation. You know, inflation in our economy has more than eaten up your CD interest, not to mention what little interest it was paying, you were having to pay taxes on that. So you really have dug yourself a hole in the last 10 to 12 years laddering CDs. As far as how much money you need to have in the bank, that depends on your situation. So there's no canned answer for that. There's no certain percentage. There's no certain dollar amount. One, it's what makes you feel comfortable. And two, you know, it depends on your health. You know, could there be a reason that you would need cash really quick to help with a health expense? What kind of condition is your car in? You know, if it's on its last legs, that might give you an indication of how much you need to keep on hand. So, you know, there's a lot of questions to ask as far as knowing how much you should keep on hand. You know, in most investment accounts, you can get money pretty quick if you need it. So, you know, keeping a whole lot of money in the bank usually is not a good idea because inflation's killing you. All right, we have Catherine in Gastonia. She said that I've heard people talk about the importance of life insurance, but I never fully grasped the importance of it until my husband died unexpectedly last month at the age of 61. And I got a check for $250,000 immediately. It's very comforting to know the money is there, but now I don't know what to do with it. What do you suggest? First of all, Catherine, I'm sorry, you know, to hear of your loss. I know it's very hard, and 61 is very young. And I'm sure that when you were working throughout your lives that you didn't look down the road saying, well, gee, at 61, my husband's going to die. You were probably planning for a nice long retirement. You were planning to do a lot of fun stuff. And I'm very sorry that you're in the situation that you're in. But I'm very thankful that your husband had the life insurance. Because you know what, folks out in radio land, Catherine just got $250,000 tax-free. You see, nobody likes paying life insurance premiums. Everybody loves what life insurance does for them. The other thing that $250,000 does for her, remember we were talking about independence? It gives her a greater degree of independence. So it gives her a better future. Now, she needs to know what to do with it. And that depends on what she wants it to do for her. So Catherine, you and I need to sit down and have a conversation about what you want that money to do for you. Do you just want it to grow and leave it to your kids? Do you want to use it for future long-term care needs if there's a need should arise? Do you want it to produce income somewhere down the road? You need to be thinking, what do I want this money to do for me? That kind of tells me which road, which path to go down to find options for places for you to put it. So Catherine, you and I need to sit down and have that conversation. So give us a call. It's 803-222-2892. Lisa in Gaffney wrote in and she said, I'm retired and my husband needs to retire because he's a roofer and his body just can't take it anymore. But he just refuses to walk away. I don't know if it's some kind of notion that he has to provide for me or what. I'm sure we have enough money saved and we should be fine, but I can't seem to convince him of that. Do you have any suggestions? And Lisa, yes, I do. Remember, I told you usually when people don't retire, don't set that retirement date, it's the fear of the unknown. And the reason your husband won't walk away is just for what you said. He has somewhere fixed in his mind that he's not sure if you have enough money for him to walk away. He's not sure if he's going to be able to take care of you. He's not sure where the income's going to come from. And when he thinks about walking off that job, the first thing he thinks about is, where's the paycheck going to come from? You know, you're not going to quit buying groceries and paying the power bill. You're going to still need that income. And what would really set him and you at ease is if you had an income plan. And that's what we do. You know, give us a call. Let's sit down. Let's map out the income plan, where the income's going to come from and how often it's going to come in. And when he can see that, then he'll feel better about hanging it up and retiring. But you're right, as a roofer, that's very hard on the body. And you didn't tell me how old he is, but I can tell you he's not going to be able to do it forever, because those guys are working in extreme weather. You know, it's very physical, climbing up and down ladders, carrying shingles up and down ladders. It's very physical. And Lisa, I encourage the two of you to come in and let's map this type plan out. Give us a call. It's 803-222-2892. So we're going to take a quick break. Be sure to stay tuned. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Angela Sloan, your retirement architect. We're going to continue with my favorite part of the show, which is where we answer questions from you out in Radio Land. And in our mailbag, we had Dale from Rock Hill. Dale says, my 401k has done fantastic for the past several months. Somebody at work told me that I should make it more conservative, but that doesn't make sense to me when I'm making so much money. What do you think? Well, Dale, it depends on how close you are to retirement. I have no idea what your age is. If you're younger, then you want to take more risk. If you're getting closer to retirement, you want to be a little more conservative. And when I say more conservative, that's relative, because I don't know how much risk you're taking now. So I have more questions than answers for you, I'm afraid. But please, 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 let's you and I have a conversation. Let me look at your portfolio, and we'll do everything we can to help you balance or rebalance in order for it to fit your situation, your goals, and your needs. So, Dale, it's 803-222-2892, and I might have my staff reach out to you so that we can at least have a phone conversation about this. We have Bobby in Charlotte, and Bobby says, I'm still working, and I plan to work for at least another 2 years. But I'm now old enough to start taking my Social Security without being limited on how much income I can earn. Is this a recommended strategy? Well, Bobby, it could be. But you know, your Social Security is going to grow 8% a year for every year you wait until age 70. At age 70, it no longer grows. And if you start taking your Social Security, if you're full retirement age, you won't be penalized. But if you're still working, 85% of it will be taxable. So we have to look at the tax consequence, and we have to weigh that out with waiting and it growing that 8% a year. You said you're still working, so I assume you're in good health. And I don't know what your family history is as far as longevity, but it depends on your tax situation as to whether or not you want to start drawing it. So let you and I have a conversation about this. You can, you know, reach me at 803-222-2892. Then we had Peggy in Monroe. Peggy says, my husband isn't inclined to do any retirement planning because he says he'll just keep working. Is this mindset okay? I guess I'm worried about what happens if he can't keep working, even if he wants to. And Peggy, you just said a mouthful. You can have all the want to in the world, but sometimes things happen with our health that we can't keep working. And let's face it, as we get older, our health usually don't get better. It usually starts declining. So, and you know, men typically, women outlive the men. That's just a statistical fact. And men typically, you know, they usually die of something pretty quick, like stroke, heart attack, something that takes them out pretty quick. Women, they get sick, they take more medicine, but they live. So that mindset is not okay. Maybe he just don't want to face the fact that he's aging or face his own mortality, but somebody needs to take the bull by the horns here. And you need to say, okay, what if he can't keep working? What if he should all of a sudden die? Where is that going to leave Peggy?
That's what you need to be asking. And if you make this plan, we always plan for, okay, here's the pitfalls that could happen. So we want to make sure we have those covered. But praise God, if you can still work, keep working, and that just makes things even better. But at least you have the peace of mind of knowing you have a plan in place. And Peggy, I encourage you to get with us. Call us 803-222-2892. Even if he won't participate at first, you're going to be the one holding the bag if he dies or gets ill. You need to take the bull by the horns, and you need to protect yourself. Maybe we can get him on board later if he doesn't come on board right away, but you need to take the bull by the horns and make sure that you are protected. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about terms that your financial advisor might use with you that you might not understand. So don't go away. We'll be right back after this quick break. If you have questions, give us a call at 803-222-2892, or you can email us at info@sloanfinancial.net. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Angela Sloan, your retirement architect. We've been talking today about how to build a plan, a retirement plan that will help you get the most out of your retirement. And I want to continue on with things that your advisor might say to you, but what they really meant when they said it. So you may have heard your advisor say, you know, we've experienced a significant market correction this month. What they really mean is your portfolio lost money. Okay. You might hear, we're forecasting significant upside potential for the stock market. And what they mean is our firm has taken a large position in the stock and I need to sell my quota. And if it's a big wirehouse or, you know, sometimes your big banks, they do have quotas and they do have to meet those quotas because they have to pay their bills and they don't want to lose their job. You might hear one say, your portfolio has a very high alpha, and I'm worried about your potential for reverse dollar cost averaging once you start your RMDs. Well, here's what that means. If I make this sound like rocket scientists, maybe you'll give up, let me manage all your money, and help me make my Tesla payment this month. So the lesson here is work with someone who's clear in their communications. I'm a firm believer in talking on the client level. You know, my average client out there is not in the financial world. They're not looking at the market every day. They're not looking at taxes every day. They're not looking at any of this stuff every day. They have to go about their business and do their jobs. So it's not their expertise. It would be like me trying to do surgery. You know, I wouldn't know where to start. And that's where my clients are. They don't know this stuff. I need to talk to them on their level. I don't need to use a lot of terms that they don't understand. If your advisor is using a lot of terms that you don't understand, or if you ever hang up the phone with them or you come out of a meeting with them and you go, well, I'm not sure what he meant, but I mean, oh, well, you know, he's supposed to know this. I just have to trust him. That's not a good way to do it, okay? You have to understand what you're doing, why you're doing it, how long you're going to do it for, and how much it's going to cost you. And if you cannot answer all of those questions, get up and run, please. You have to know those things. In my opinion, and I do this with my clients, you can ask any of them, they'll tell you, I spend between 4 hours and 6 hours doing nothing but education. They don't know enough to make a decision until they have gone through that educational process. There's no way I wouldn't know enough about you and you wouldn't know enough about me until we have gone through that process and you know what all your options are and how much it's going to cost you and how long it's going to take to meet your goals. So folks, if you're concerned about this, please give us a call. It's 803-222-2892 or you can email us at info@sloanfinancial.net. Please give us a call. Let us help you set up a retirement plan to make your retirement a happy retirement. I think our time is about up today. You've been listening to Angela Sloan, the Retirement Architect. If you want a better plan for your retirement, give me a call. With an office in Charlotte and one in Clover, it's convenient to most anyone listening today. So if you have a question or maybe two questions, I'm happy to spend a few minutes on the phone. Again, that's 803-222-2892. Let us help you build a plan for a happy retirement.